Have you ever had a ghost in your workplace? A lot of folks have. But what happens when that workplace changes hands and then dramatically changes what's going on in that workplace? What if the ghost is not all too happy about it? That story happens in a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to find out exactly what happens when a bar turns into a, Lady of the Night building place type thing? Yeah. Well, hey, then check out the EPP bonus episode number 60 for that one. Sign up to get it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP, and your support keeps our show on the air. Please, if you like the show, consider helping us do this thing and support it with an EPP membership through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And that indeed it is. The phone number to call in, 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, to share your real ghost stories with us. Open lines today. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
How are you feeling?
I'm trying to get through the illness, the scurvy, the rabies, whatever it is I may have right now.
Yeah.
But I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay enough to talk between phone calls.
Yeah.
So that's we're doing another phone call show today because, quite honestly, you probably don't want to hear me hack up a lung in the middle of a ghost story. Maybe kind of frightening at some points, but probably more annoying than frightening, really.
Right.
I was earlier today, I saw on Facebook somebody had posted, and I'd seen this a couple years ago, and I really thought it was just kind of neat, but it was just kind of neat to see it again a couple more years later when more stuff had come to fruition. But there used to be a campaign that was done by AT&T in about 1993 for You Will, and it's all the things that you're going to do in the future.
Oh, sure.
Thanks to AT&T.
Uh-huh.
And it was in 1993, I remember watching these ads being a kid, you know, is about 10, 11 years old, thinking, wow, these are just amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to be a grown-up to have most of these things. And this is about 90% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
There was like one thing where it was like, you'll fix your own car. It's like a complete amateur, like me.
Sure.
Like, you're going to have a garage and there's going to be a video. And I mean, I suppose in theory you could kind of do that. I mean, YouTube exists to kind of walk you through some things. So I guess that could kind of count. It was more so like there was a mechanic there, like, no, move your right hand and do this. That, I don't believe quite like that has happened. But thanks to YouTube, we do have something similar to it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the other things, all there. It was like, send a fax from the beach. Well, nobody's using a fax anymore, but you can certainly email from the beach.
Sure.
Or do everything else. And like everything else, very, very close to what reality came to be. And I just thought it was really kind of neat. And I thought of that because it tied in perfectly with another experience I had earlier today here on the Ghost Radio Show of the Future, which this in itself, thing we do here, a concept I never would have thought existed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not an endorsement of a product or a service or anything like that, but with the cold here, I had pink eye or something in my, I don't know if it was pink eye or a virus or whatever the hell it is, but my eye was red today.
It's totally pink eye.
Is it pink eye?
Yeah.
So earlier today, I thought, well, great, I have to go to the walk-in and, you know, that's just, it's a pain because it's a good hour and a half. You get there, you get done, go get your prescription. It's just, it's a hindrance of your day.
Mm-hmm.
This goes along with the You Will. It wasn't in those ads, but it sure should have been. There's an app where you can actually talk to a doctor and get a prescription right over your phone.
For certain things.
For certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not, you can't like have like back surgery there, but you can do a lot of basic things where it's like, we'll look at your eye. Yep, that does look like that. And they send the prescription in, got it. And like that. It was amazing. It took all of 5 minutes and it was even cheaper than going to the walk-in.
And your eye's already looking better.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just kind of baffled by the world that we live in today. Just with what we can do. I mean, just the fact that we are sitting here doing a show only about ghosts and the audience size that has come out of it and the loyalty that you guys have. It's baffling to me. It's all part of this. One day you will.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would do that for our kids today. a version of that ad, because I'd love to see what's going to be coming down the pike when they're adults.
Well, and see, you know, I was kind of thinking along those lines when last time we went to Disney and Epcot, because, you know, it's not so futuristic anymore. It's more just, okay, this is all we have now.
It is kind of like, do they know as much as what's going to happen 10, 20 years down the road today as they did back then? Is it as predictable today as it was then? I wonder. Or because that was true. I was actually kind of disappointed in that part of Epcot when we visited it, because as a kid, it was so neat. It was just like that ad. Mm-hmm. It was like, you're going to do this. And they had all the mannequins moving around and showing how you're going to do this and that. And all that's gone now, because it would be dated. It'd be like, oh, 1989. We thought you were, you know, it's like, yeah, that did come about. But I don't know if they just don't know anymore. If it was just, you know, we were making such a technological leap at that time.
Yeah, I can't imagine that we are at the top of that. So there's more stuff to come. Maybe they just don't know what yet.
Yeah, maybe. There should be a segment on how we can communicate with ghosts literally just over the tele. You can be able to text the dead. That's going to be in 20 years. Texting the dead.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
You will. And AT&T will be the company that brings it to you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Sarah in New England. Hi.
Hi, this is Sarah from Omaha again. I just heard my call this morning, and I think I sound a little bit neurotic, but I have a little bit of phone anxiety. So, Jenny, I thought it was really interesting the way that you likened, you know, people wanting to see things to girls with curly or straight hair, because I think that's exactly what it is. Those of us who have a lot of experiences don't always want them, and people who don't have them wish they did. Actually, what I'm calling today is to tell you a couple things. One is, the other day I heard a girl call and say that she'd had experiences when she was younger with her fish aquarium and the fish getting out mysteriously. And when I heard that, I sort of felt my blood run cold, because that actually is an experience I had when I was a kid, and I never knew that that sort of thing happened to other people. So kind of back to that whole group therapy thing. Yeah, that's insane. When I was, I'd say somewhere between 12 and 14-ish, I was having a lot of really sort of dark paranormal things happening. Like I said, I'm sensitive and have experienced this all my life. And I may get into that story another time, or I may not. It was pretty dark and sinister. But during this time, I had a 10-gallon fish aquarium in my bedroom. And the way my room was set up, I had my bedroom in the basement and my brother's bedroom next to mine. And then the basement had like a little den, living room sort of thing, and then the laundry room on the far side. And I had this little 10-gallon aquarium, and it had a cover, and it was completely covered. Like, there is no way these fish should have been able to get out. And I would go to bed at night and wake up in the morning and find the fish had gotten out of the aquarium. And sometimes they were dead, and sometimes they weren't. I had one fish in particular, but he just never died. It was the most traumatizing thing. One time I found him outside of the aquarium, outside of my bedroom, all the way across into the laundry area, still flopping around and still alive. And I was just horrified. And I picked him up and put him back. And they would just continue to do this just over and over. Somehow, mysteriously get out of this aquarium. And at the same time, like I said, I had some other really dark things going on. Some things that have kind of led me to think about possibly a past life, which involves water, which is a completely different story, but which is why I'm afraid of water today. but, you know, I was completely traumatized by this experience with the fish aquarium, and eventually I took it down, gave all the fish to my father. They never jumped out of his aquarium. They lived for quite a while after that. He never had any problems with them. Shortly, not that long ago, about 2 years ago, I tried to get a new aquarium and set it up and start over, but I found that I kept freaking out about where the fish were and going in and counting them all and making sure that they were all still there. And, you know, I was always really bothered by it. So I found that I can't have aquariums to this day. So I yeah, when I heard this other girl's story, I was like, hey, you're not alone. This has happened to me. Apparently, this has happened to somebody else. So, wow, that's shocking. Another story, completely off track here, but the current place that I am living in now, it is a townhouse, typical townhouse, basement, main floor, upstairs. And I have really never lived in a place that I felt the place was haunted. I've always felt it was me that was haunted, not really the place I was living in. I think my roommate would argue that. She's the one that I said never really has any experiences, even though she wants them. She claims that she did have a few experiences in a house we lived in a few years back. I think she plans to call in and tell that story. But this townhouse, for whatever reason, my bedroom is really, something's in there. And I think this goes back to, you know, I've heard mentioned on the show before, what is it about that one particular room can have a problem? Because, like, it's just this one room. The bedroom is on the second floor upstairs, you know, far corner. Like, why would this one room, you know, have an issue? And when we, you know, first went to tour, of course, they show you the model home. So you think everything's good, and I don't feel any weird energies or anything. And then, you know, they go, here's your unit, here's the keys. And I step inside, and I just feel like, oh, you know, wow. And from the minute we got this place, I noticed that upstairs floor just feels creepy. But I think it's all emanating from this one room. And of course, that's my room. And I had one particular experience where I'd gone to bed at night and I felt something on the edge of my bed. And it felt small. I couldn't tell if it felt like an animal. It wasn't a very large presence, but I felt something. You know, this dip on the edge of the bed where I'm almost asleep, I'm laying there, I'm content, my cat's laying on the pillow next to me, he's asleep, and I feel something dip, something on the edge of the bed. And then I hear it start wheezing. And it was this sound like if you've ever had a really bad cold or bronchitis, and you've like lost your voice and you're breathing and you get that wheezing noise in your chest. And I'm like, okay, it's just in my head. You know, maybe I've just talked too much about scary things lately. Try to forget it, make it go away, don't pay attention to it. And then the cat crawls over and climbs up on my chest, and he turns, so he's facing the foot of the bed. So I've got, like, the cat's butt in my face while he's facing the foot of the bed, and he's tensed up, and he's growling at the foot of the bed, and I'm just like, okay, maybe it's not my imagination. And that's, I don't know. You always talk about, you know, how do these things happen and then you go back to sleep? And I'm really not sure. Sometimes you just do. Sometimes you lay there until it just happens. Sometimes you just, maybe it's just because some of us have just had so many things happen that after a while it just becomes normal. I know that I was terrified. Somehow I did fall back asleep, and in the morning I woke up and I was like, holy crap, that was terrifying. And I slept a few nights with the lights on. So I decided I was going to smudge the room. And, you know, like I've mentioned, I have had a lot of experience with this kind of stuff. I am sensitive. So, you know, this isn't the first time this has happened. It's not my first smudging. I'm not new to this sort of thing. You know, I know what I'm doing. I go into this with the right mindset. I'm prepared. I've done this before. And I, you know, go through and I smudge the room and I'm like, okay, it feels better now. The energy feels good. Windows are open. Everything's feeling happy. I've got a friend downstairs. I put everything out. I go downstairs. I'm like, okay, I think that's going to help. And she's sitting there with her ghost radar on. And, you know, I never really put a lot of stock in the ghost radar initially. I was like, that's just a stupid phone app. It doesn't do anything. But after a few experiences that I may tell another time, you know, now I kind of wonder if there isn't something to it. And the first thing, as I come down the stairs, she's sitting on my couch with her ghost radar, and it says angry. And I'm just like, oh, all right, let's just ignore that. Let's just, you know, stupid app, it's calibrating or something, just pretend that didn't happen. And then I go to bed that night, and when I go to bed, I'm feeling pretty good. I've smudged the room. I'm thinking everything's good. And I fall asleep, and I wake up at about 1:30 in the morning, and I just wake up suddenly. And I'm wondering, what woke me? You know, what is it that has woken me up? And I realize it is this feeling that something is leaning over me. And it's not sleep paralysis. I'm not paralyzed. I could move if I wanted to. I didn't want to. Because of my migraines, I sleep with a sleep mask. And I was thankful for it because I have my eyes closed and I did not want to see whatever might be there. But I wake up and I have this feeling. I'm sleeping on my side facing the cat and I feel something leaning over me, and I feel almost like as if it had been a person, like it, I can feel like its hand on my shoulder and like its face leaning over me and like it's pressing down on my body, and I can feel it like pushing down on me, and there's this strong sense of like dread and like malevolent feeling. And I laid there like that for the longest time, like trying to get up the courage to get myself to do something. And I just laid there and just waited and waited and waited until it went away, which eventually it did. And then I flipped on the light and got up and I laid there. And this time I did not go back to sleep. I read a book and played on my phone for a couple hours. So that was Saturday night. That was a few nights ago. And that was the day I smudged the room. So I have no idea, but apparently it was not happy about the sage. So that's what I'm dealing with right now. And it's this place. I don't know. I've not really ever had an experience where the home that I lived in felt this way. So I guess I'm going to have to see what to do next. The weird thing is it's confined to the one bedroom. When the lease is up, I intend to move. I'll tell you that much. But that's my latest story. So, yeah. All right. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. And I think it's you put a little more insight, I think, into the thought process and what we've talked about before in the show of, well, when something paranormal happens, how do you just fall back asleep? That's true. If you think of it from the aspect of, well, this is a fairly common, normal thing, it's a lot more understandable as to why, you know, why that would be a doable thing, if you will. Thank you for sharing your story with us, and we do look forward to hearing more from you. The number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us here on Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on the website as well, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you're a new listener to the show, find us over Halloween, be sure you press subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on as to where you can find us. Just to press that subscribe button helps us grow in those rankings. Other people find us, makes it for a better show. And you don't miss any shows either. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jimmy. This is Claire. I am from Alabama, although I do not live there now. I've called in the past, but I heard one of my stories today on the air, which was fantastic. I love to hear that. And I was originally planning, after I heard that, to call in and tell you this happy, positive ghost story, which I will tell you. But then this thing happened between the time that I heard the story and I'm calling in now. My best friend called me. And I was, she has a great ghost story. She's a really good one. It's really good. It's really scary. And I was telling her that my story had been played and that she should listen and that she should call in and tell her story. And she was like, yeah, I'm totally gonna do that. She was on board with it. And then she asked me, oh, hey, is Todd home? That's my husband's name, Todd. And I said, no, he's not. He's at a work dinner tonight. He's not gonna be home for a while. And she said, really? I said, yeah. And I asked her why, and she said, well, because I heard a male voice on your end of the phone say, hey. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, no, I heard a male voice on the other end of the phone say, hey. And I'm sitting here, I'm spinning around in circles. You know, I know nobody's home, but I'm looking around anyway. And there was nobody there. And she has taken this as a reason to not call in because she's thinking it's an omen or it's one of the spirits from her story telling her, hey, yeah, call in. And then I'm going to be with you. So she may or may not call in. But the reason I was calling was because I wanted to share a short but sweet, happy ghost story with you. And this was related to me by my mom. And this happened before I was born. She was driving in a car. Well, she was not driving. My uncle Dale was driving. He's not actually my uncle, like blood related. He was my mom's best friend. So I grew up knowing him as Uncle Dale. But she was in the car with him. He was driving. He didn't have his seatbelt on. His seatbelt was not on. My mom's seatbelt was on. This is like in the late 70s, early 80s. He was driving a car. I'm not sure what make or model, but it had a bench seat in it. They were stopped at the red light, and then they got the green light. And they start proceeding through the intersection, and they both saw this car from the cross street coming at them really fast, not stopping. And so my Uncle Dale like slid over the bench seat to get away from the impact when he realized that this was gonna happen. My mom, who had her seatbelt on in the passenger seat, you know, of course stayed there. And she has told me that the car hit, the other car hit, and it T-boned them. Her head, of course, whipped, you know, towards the direction of the car that hit them first because inertia. Then it whipped back towards the window of the passenger seat. And she has told me several times, she likes to talk about this because it's her guardian angel story. She has told me that as her head whipped back towards the window, she felt a hand on her head, like a hand cupping the side of her head. And it blunted the blow when her head hit the window. And she says that she could feel the hand, or, well, the blow through the hand. She could feel the blow on the window through the hand. And she had cuts on her face and on her arm and her legs because she was wearing shorts from the glass that shattered when her head hit it. She thought that it was my Uncle Dale, that he had slid over the seat and wrapped his arm around her and shielded her head. So after all the chaos was done, she thanked him. She said, thank you, Dale, for protecting my head. I don't know what would have happened otherwise. And he told her, Donna, I didn't do that. I wish I had had the foresight, but I didn't protect your head. He said that he was holding one hand on the seat and one hand on the dash because he didn't have a seatbelt on. She said, well, I felt this hand on my head softening the blow. And he said that hesitantly, as my mom tells it, He said that he had also felt hands on him, holding him in the seat because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And they both made it out alive. And my mom thinks that it was my great-grandma, her grandma, my great-grandma, who was protecting her. And the reason she thinks this is because she's had several strangers come up to her, people who she didn't know, who came up to her and said, "Oh, are you Donna?" And she was like, "Yes." And then they would say, "Your grandma is an angel." And my mom would say, "Oh yeah, she was a really wonderful person. You know, I'm sure she's in heaven, you know, whatever." And they would say, no, she's actually an angel. She is an angel. And she's looking out for you. And when, like, the 3 or 4 times this happened to her, it was freaky, but it was also comforting to her. And she's told me that story over and over again, of this guardian angel holding her head during this car crash. And then I asked her a couple months ago if anything else had happened, if that had ever happened again with this guardian angel. And she said, "Well, maybe yes." She said that when I was being born, I was born with my heart stopped. I wasn't breathing. My heart was stopped. The umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck. Before I was birthed, they had realized that I was in distress, and they were wheeling her to the OR because they thought they needed to do a C-section in order to save me. And so they wheeled her into the OR, and as they're prepping her to have a C-section, I start coming naturally, being birthed. And she said that she felt, when that started happening, she was terrified. And she said that she felt a cool hand on her brow, a comforting, cool hand on her brow. She birthed me naturally. I was dead when I came out. So, fun story. And she said that she could feel the hand on her brow for the whole time until they had taken me over. They cut the umbilical cord. They unwrapped it from my neck. And they brought me back to life. And she said that she could feel the hand on her brow until she heard me crying and knew that I was alive, and then it disappeared. And so that's my mom's guardian angel story. It's really interesting to me. I wish that I had something like that looking after me. But that's all related by my mom. And I'd be interested to know what you guys think about that, what kind of entity or spirit that is. Obviously a good one, I think. Thanks for doing the show. Love you guys. Love the show. And bye.
Well, I think she very likely probably does have something watching out after her, even though these stories didn't pertain to that specifically. But it sounds like there's something in that family that's watching out. And I, you know, the fact that, she's so sensitive to these sorts of things. I mean, a lot of these stories were other people's stories, but it does sound like she was saying that she has other stories of her own.
Yes.
Of her own experiences. I would think that, you know, part of that may go back to the birthing experience, if you will.
The near death.
Yeah, where, you know, you the only thing I can say on that to kind of make somewhat amount of sense when we're talking of the topic of, it's something that you may be, you know, a baby. You're not exactly sitting there ready to learn things yet. You are a newborn, but it's more of an instinctual thing. Mm-hmm. And I think if those sort of instincts are then developed at that point in time in your brain to be able to see the other side or understand the other side, that is going to stay with you as an instinctual ability from the beginning if that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that opens you up to being more sensitive and more open to realizing and feeling the other side.
That one, it seems like once that veil is thinned, mm-hmm. it doesn't thicken again.
That's what I think happened. I mean, you have people who have that near-death experience at 40,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly these gates open up that same way. She had it at zero.
Yeah.
And it's just been there. So I think that can happen. You're exactly right. Once it's thinned, it's thinned. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to another caller. Hi.
I love your show. I've been binge listening. I called yesterday. So this will probably be my fourth or fifth story that I've shared since I've started listening to you guys around August. So I'm caught up to about, I think, maybe mid-February of this year right now. But I wanted to share a story that I have not told very many people, just a couple family members. It really, really shook me up. And it still gives me anxiety just to even talk about, just to think about it. It really scares me. I lived in Chicago, and that's where I grew up. Went to high school. I went to private school. I lived with my aunt, and that's who raised me. And we lived in a really old house in a really nice neighborhood that her family actually built the house, and was still the family was one of the original owners, and it was just an absolutely gorgeous house. And maybe I'll have her call in and share one of her stories. It was a pretty good one that she's got. Anyway, so I used to wait for the bus in front of this ginormous cemetery to go to school, and there was a smaller one in front of it. And I would take either the train or the bus to school, which was north of where I lived. And I would get out there probably about 6:20 because our first bell was about, it was like a weird time, like 7:04 a.m. This was my junior year of high school. It was the day before Thanksgiving break, and I don't know why I remember that. I had a winter coat on, so it was quite cold, and I would stand and wait for the bus if I got out there with enough time. Usually it was me, speed walking because I would not have a minute to spare. But this morning I got out there particularly early, probably about 20 minutes before the bus came. So it was still kind of darkish out. It was like twilighty, I guess you would say. So it was still a little bit dark out. And I would stand there and I would read the tombstones. I would just kind of prop up against there was a fence there, and I would read the headstones there. I don't know if they buried anyone in there still. I really don't know. And this particular day, now mind you, I've been waiting at this bus stop since I was a freshman in high school. So this is going on my third year of waiting for the bus there. And I would just kind of stare off and daydream into the cemetery. And this morning I saw a little girl in there, and she was just playing, and I watched her for must have been about 5 minutes. I just kind of watched her playing and didn't think anything of it. I was 16, 17 years old. I didn't think anything of it. Finally, my bus comes. I get on the bus, and maybe about 4 or 5 minutes into the bus ride, I don't know how to describe it, like a feeling of cold, almost, if you've ever had a panic or anxiety attack, that type of feeling where it just feels like all the blood runs from your body and you just feel ice cold. That's the feeling that really took me off guard. And even years later, I think about it and it scares me. I have not shared this many with really anybody because it terrified me. Anyway, so I realized at that point, okay, this little girl had to have been maybe, I was no expert on kids, I didn't have any, 6 or 7 maybe, I would say 6 or 7 years old. Where were her parents? Who plays in the cemetery? She was not dressed. I had a winter coat on. It's Chicago. It's cold in November. She had on like a little, like a white dress, almost like she was going to go to a picnic or go to church or it was Easter. And she had her hair done up like in those ringlets. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, who dresses like that anymore? And she didn't make sound. And I watched her for about 5 minutes and she never acknowledged me. And she was playing in the cemetery. Who does that at 6 something in the morning? It didn't all add up. And it was at that time I realized I saw a ghost. And she didn't look weird. She didn't look see-through or anything like that. And I shared a story a while ago. I think the first one I shared was about me being in the car with my brother and I saw a man who tipped his hat to me. It was the same thing. They just were dressed differently, but they looked like any other person out there. And it just scared me so bad. I got to school. Clearly, you could tell something was wrong with me. Everyone was asking me what was wrong. The school nurse asked if I needed to go home. And I didn't want to go home. I really felt like I just needed to be around my classmates. And I didn't take the bus home that day. I took the train home because then I didn't have to walk anywhere near the cemetery. Actually, I would walk behind it from the train. And it scared me so bad. And I got home and I was like, should I tell my aunt? Is she going to think I'm crazy? So I just said to her, I said, you know, I saw this girl and she stopped me and she said, in the cemetery, right? And I said, yeah. And she said, oh, we used to see her all the time when we were kids. She was struck by lightning at a picnic. And I'm like, what? So fast forward a few years till maybe six, whatever Ancestry.com and all that came out. And a friend of mine, we were just visiting and we walked through the cemetery and we actually found a sculpture of a girl and it was a different cemetery. It was the one that was set behind it. There was a girl, sure enough, we looked her name up and she was struck by lightning at a picnic and it looked so much like this girl. They actually have a sculpture for her. I'll see if I can find it and put it on your website. They have a sculpture for her in the cemetery. I guess her parents made it for her. And I don't know why she showed herself to me that day, what that was about, if it was just like a little bubble in time that I just happened to glimpse in. I'm sure, you know, obviously her parents are long dead because this kid died, I think, in the very, very late 1800s, maybe early 1900s. I really can't recall. But it really shook me up and really scared me. And I didn't take the bus again until probably the middle of my senior year. And I waited for it. I did not stand in front of the cemetery. That's where the stop actually is. I waited for it a little ways down, and then I just walked down when I saw it coming. So that's my story, and I really only have one other one that I'll share later. But thanks for listening. I love that, you know, this is a place where people can share their stories without being judged. Some of them are pretty good ones that I know, you know, most people would say, that's not true, that would never happen. But, you know, it, it it's true. Those things happen. So thanks. And I am going to sign up to be EPP today. Thanks. Bye.
That's not true. That would never happen. Next caller. No, I'm kidding.
Well, when she said who plays in the cemetery, I immediately thought of you.
Some of us are just drawn to it. You know, it's just you feel at home for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But very good story.
Yeah.
And experience. Thank you for sharing that with us. The phone number to share your experiences and stories, 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those to us. Hi.
Hi, Brewskis. My name is Connie from Jersey. I've been listening a lot to the show. And, you know, as I'm listening, it gets my juices flowing and I start thinking of some stories that I had. I called a little while ago to tell you a story about a noise I heard as I was changing my daughter's diaper one day. So I was thinking and I realized that I had had a lot of occurrences once I had my daughter. A lot of things seemed to be centered around her. So I got a couple of stories, and they all just kind of go back to her. So after I had my daughter, I was still living at home at the time, and our room was in the attic of my dad's house. So I used to have some strange things happen to me, like sleep paralysis, crazy dreams that I would have up there, but. Most of this stuff really didn't start happening until after I had my daughter. So after I gave birth to her, I can remember one night in particular. I don't remember the time, but it was like late. I don't know, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe later than that. But I was sleeping and I was hearing this tapping noise. And it wasn't even that loud of a noise. But it was enough to wake me up out of my sleep. And it would be just a couple of taps. And then I just had a feeling like I just knew it was something or someone. So it freaked me out a lot. My daughter was sleeping. but it freaked me out. So I just said out loud, I just said, "Can you please stop?" And it stopped. So I was a little freaked out about that. So there was that. And then another time, my daughter was upstairs sleeping, and, you know, you have the I can't think of what they're called, but the walkie-talkie thing. The monitor. There we go. The baby monitor. And I had to run out, so my dad and my stepmom were watching my daughter as she slept. So she was all the way upstairs. They were downstairs in the kitchen. And when I got back, they explained to me that as she was sleeping, through the monitors, they could hear women having a conversation. Like, they didn't specify what they were saying, but they heard, they explained it. It sounded like a couple of women having a conversation. And my dad wasn't freaked out about it because he thinks that his mom and his mom and his grandmother came to visit the baby and that they were talking about her and watching her sleep. So he wasn't too freaked out about it. I, however, was a little freaked out about that. So there was that instance. And then there was another time after my daughter was born. And my friends came to visit. They came to see the baby. We were all downstairs in the kitchen, my friends and my daughter. And, they were messing with my iPad. We were just kind of eating and chit-chatting and catching up. And they were playing. My girlfriends were messing with my iPad. And they were recording videos. And we were rewatching them because they were just being silly. So we were watching one of the videos. And as we were watching it, something flew across my friend's. Like flew over my friend's head in the video, and the best way I can describe it, it looked like it was like a bat almost. Like, and you can hear the noise in the video. If I can find a way to upload it off my iPad or like email it to you guys, I'll definitely do that because it really freaked us out because none of us saw anything, you know, as we were sitting in the kitchen. But when we watched this video, you could see this black, like, I don't even know how to, I guess a bat is the best way to explain it. But it looked kind of like a black thing, a black bat almost just flew across her head in the video. And that really freaked us out. My daughter, she's only 3 now, but, you know, they say kids are more in tune with that type of thing. And I've definitely had other experiences with her being sensitive to paranormal things. Like, her dad and I were in the room one day, and she is looking. So my boyfriend at the time, he was sitting on the bed, and my daughter walked into our room, and she's looking past her dad, and she's like, you know, it's Grandpa. And he kind of froze and was like, what? She's like, Grandpa. So she's pointing behind her and saying, you know, Grandpa, right there. So we were kind of freaked out about that, and I could hear it because I was in the bathroom, so I could hear them have this conversation. They kind of had this exchange, and she explained that, you know, Grandpa's behind you, like, right there. So that kind of freaked us out, but, you know, kids are sensitive to that thing, which I truly believe. I have a few other stories. I'll probably call in and talk to you some more about them. Thanks for listening. Love what you guys do.
With baby monitors, is that something where you can accidentally pick up somebody else's baby monitor if you're like in an apartment building or something like that?
Technically. Yeah.
Because I was wondering if maybe it wasn't so much the voices of ghosts, but more so maybe just something else being picked up.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily pick up other things on a baby monitor. I mean, they operate on similar frequencies as other baby monitors, so it could happen, especially like in an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key there is to, if you can decipher what's being talked about.
Yeah.
And hear what exactly the words being said are to determine what exactly you're dealing with there.
Because assuming if it's another baby monitor, then there could be two other women Googling over some other baby.
There could be, yeah.
And not just your baby.
There very well could be.
Okay.
It's one of those things you want to kind of narrow down, and if you can pick up what exactly is being said, that should answer that question a little bit more. So, thanks for the call. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Oh, I am calling from Brandon, Manitoba, Canada. And this is a story that my mother had told me about when she was a small child growing up in Poland, Eastern Poland, in a small village close to Vladimir, Poland. And at that time, this is prior to any invasion or any war starting before 1939. She was born in 1927, so this may have occurred when she was about 7 or 8 years old. And in the village that she lived in, there were Polish people, and there were Jewish people, and there were Ukrainian people. There were families from all different walks of life and different nationalities, but there was no division. Everyone worked together, played together, that type of thing at that time. So Mom was playing outside with her friend, who was Jewish, and they were kind of sitting across from each other. And further down the roadway, they were playing close to the road, gravel road. My mother saw a young boy approaching them, and she looked, and her friend looked, and said, well, we don't recognize this boy, because everyone knew each other at that time in this little village. And he approached them, coming closer and closer, and he stopped. And he stopped behind my mom and looked at my mom's friend, pointed at her, and said, your family must go back or return to Palestine. Now, when this boy had said this, he didn't say, hi, can I play with you? Or there was no conversation. All that was said was he stated to her friend that her and her family must go back to Palestine. Now, my mom and her friend looked at each other, kind of confused or a little bit bewildered, like, who is this person? I mean, we've never seen him before, and what an odd thing to say. And when they looked around, or when they, after finishing looking at each other like this, they looked up, and this boy was nowhere to be found. Anywhere. They didn't see him leave. Nothing. So my mom and her friend kind of looked at each other, a little bit startled, and each went back to their own families, kind of running. And my mom went up to her mom and said, Mom, why do the Jewish people, why does my friend have to go back to Palestine? And my grandmother was saying, oh, why would you say such a thing? Who told you this? And my mom replied, I don't know, this boy we didn't see. He doesn't look familiar to us. I've never seen him in the village before. When my mom shared this story with me, I had goosebumps going up and down each arm and at the back of my neck. I literally felt the hairs on the back of my neck raise, because it was almost, it was just, I guess, a warning of things to come. But yeah, my mom and her friend had gone through this. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. It just goes to show the ghosts and the ghost stories that we get. There's really no bounds to where they are, who they are, or anything of that sort. Thank you for sharing that story with us. The number here, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lots of ways to do that. Of course, the website as well. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please consider supporting it, becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. And that's what helps keep this thing on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.